the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
And good morning. You had a good weekend?
I did. Yeah, it was good weather, at least for us. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, yeah, we had weather.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
We had rain delays all day, and the rain stayed away.
Yeah.
So it delayed for a long time. Yeah. But, the Tigers of LSU, what a great weekend for them, sweeping the Wildcats of Kentucky in two games. And, boy, last night was fun to be at Alex Box Stadium to see all that happening. And going back to Omaha since 2017, we haven't been there. So it's time to get back. Hopefully win this thing.
Yeah, go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers, right. Well, we're going to pray today because it's always a great way to start your day. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Let me never be separated from you. From the malignant enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me and bid me to come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Blessed Jolenta of Poland, pray for us. We will learn more about Blessed Jolenta later on in today's show, but we have a wonderful lineup. We have events in our listening area we will give you details about, and you can actually find all of these on our website at ccmedia.live. If you miss any, you can always go to ccmedia.live and find all the information. Alan Migliorato joins us in 18 minutes. He is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens today. And we are going to be talking about, Damian, what are we going to do?
No, we're not going to be talking about me, that's for sure.
Well, we might. How to discipline a teenager who doesn't care about consequences.
Yeah, because since we're talking about discipline and grounding, we may be talking about me before it's over with. That happens to me here all the time, folks. You just don't know it.
Oh, no. Damon's actually the one that makes us all laugh during the break and lightens the mood and gets us to wake up even though it's a Monday morning and we're all like zombies today. So looking forward to Alan Migliorato's segment as always. Dr. Tina Holland joins us in 35 minutes. She's a president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. She will be with us for a quick update. And in 48 minutes, Debbie Shelley joins us. She is the assistant editor of The Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and she'll be giving us an update on what you'll be finding in this week's issue in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So looking forward to a great lineup today, Damian. Looking forward to a wonderful show.
Yeah.
And your weather update.
Well, we had a great weekend, like you said, weather-wise, and it's going to continue today. Should be sunny, partly cloudy skies. Now, rain and thunderstorms are expected to move in the afternoon, but not quite for everyone in our listening audience. Some might be severe. It's a 50-50 chance of rain and a high 94, low 74, winds out of the west, southwest at 5 to 10. That's how those rains are going to move into anyone's area, from the southwest moving to the northeast. Tomorrow and Wednesday looks great, but hot. Whoo! May have a stray shower to cool things down. High is going to be in the mid-90s. Heat index 102. That's right, you heard me. 102 for the heat index. Temperatures already 81 in New Orleans, 80 in Gulfport, 77 in Baton Rouge and on the North Shore, and 78 in Home and Thibodeau. Stick around. Wake Up's just getting started.
good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The pagans only thought of their gods as blessed or fortunate, because they were thought to be immortal and hence free from the sadness of human experience, which always ends in the darkness of death. The worst of evils for most of the people of pagan antiquity. Then there were those who were considered, well, somewhat blessed, because they were the privileged few who enjoyed riches, a good education, all the things denied to the great majority of mankind. Against this background, Jesus declared those blessed who least resemble the pagan gods, because they embrace their sufferings and their mortality and make these the straight road to God and true happiness. This is the path of the cross, for it is the way of love. This is an amazing turnabout. The least privileged in the eyes of the world are precisely those who have the greatest possibility of using their emptiness and weaknesses in a way that is meant to induce God to communicate his own life and strength. Isn't Jesus always full of surprises? The important lesson for us is that those who practice the Beatitudes are imitators of God. The Beatitudes are not negative commandments that forbid sin, as the first Decalogue largely was, in keeping with its nature as the minimum necessary to obey God. The Beatitudes are the perfection of the commandments that invites poor mortals to be like God here and now in this world. Then they can live on the other side of sin, grow in the divine holiness within, and become the children of God in truth, begotten of the divine Word of truth, who, sitting on this mountain, is now addressing life through his very words. The Greek fathers, particularly Saint Irenaeus and Saint Athanasius, affirmed that the Word became man in order that men might become like God, might be, in a sense, deified. Then we live in God, and God lives in us. This is the awesome dignity that brings true happiness and totally trumps eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. Nice reflection. And by the way, thanks for listening to Wake Up. It is a Monday morning, if you hadn't figured that out yet. And it's June 12th. The month is almost halfway done. But as far as retreats and events taking place, they're just beginning. You know, there's a directed 5-day silent retreat. It's available beginning June 26th. It will go through July 2nd, and it's going to be at the Archdiocese of New Orleans Retreat Center in Metairie. And the retreat is sponsored by Franciscan Missionaries and the Archdiocese Spirituality Center. The cost is $500 each retreat, and will meet daily with the spiritual director, and then they spend the rest of the day in silence, prayer, and rest. And if you'd like more information and details, go to ccmedia.live. Gabby, have you ever made a 5-day silent retreat?
I haven't made a 5-day silent retreat. I have made a 3-day silent retreat, mm-hmm. and I actually enjoyed it. At first, I was a little intimidated by it, but I really enjoyed it, and it was over in Rosaryville and Ponchatoula in the springtime. Absolutely gorgeous weather and just a beautiful place to sit and reflect.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it.
Well, those silent retreat, it's really more of a one-on-one and versus mm-hmm. like going to Manresa where it is a silent retreat, but you're with a group of guys or ladies when they go on their big retreats. So that's what makes it a little different. So if you have never done it, I always recommend it before you kick the bucket and head to heaven.
Oh, there you go. Well, the Archdiocese of New Orleans Office of Marriage and Family Life and Springs in the Desert are partnering to offer Cherished, a retreat for those in a season of infertility on July 7th through the 8th at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center. Wherever you are in the path of infertility, the Marriage and Family Life Office invites you to join the Springs in the Desert team as they reflect on the emotional, relational, and spiritual aspects of the infertility experience and offer practical suggestions for strengthening your relationship with God and your spouse. Come with your spouse or you can go on your own for a time of prayer, healing, and friendship. To learn more about this retreat, you can go to ccmedia.live. I know Springs in the Desert has helped so many individuals and couples navigate this journey of infertility.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of requests for letting people know about various retreats, and I'm glad to see there are various types of retreats available. St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, they're already taking signups for their women's retreat. It's not until September 14th through the 17th, but they need you to sign up now because there are only 36 spots available. It'll wrap up on September 17th, as I said, at 11:30 with a mass and then a reception to follow. It's $350 a person. Financial aid is available if you need that. If you'd like more information, you can find all the info and details at our website, ccmedia.live.
Yes, and the Women of Manresa retreats hosted by the Cynical on the Lake will be happening on December 7th through the 10th. You can go to ccmedia.live. There's plenty of other dates as well. Also, Damien, real quick, I did want to thank all of our Pledge Drive donors, new, reoccurring. We are just so grateful for you to continue to support Catholic Community Media during our summer Pledge Drive last week.
Yeah, it was really great, and I second that, Gabby. Thank you all so much for your support, and thank you for listening to Wake Up this morning. Stick around.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 12th. Today we celebrate Blessed Jolenta of Poland. Jolenta, also known as Yolanda, was the daughter of a Hungarian king. Her sister, who went on to become Saint Kunigunda, was married to the Duke of Poland. As a young girl, Jolenta was sent to Poland, where her sister was to supervise her education. Jolenta eventually married the Duke of Greater Poland. She used her material means to assist the poor, the sick, widows, and orphans. Meanwhile, she had a loyal worker at her side. Her husband joined her in building hospitals, convents, and churches so wholeheartedly that he was nicknamed the Pious. Upon the death of her husband and the marriage of two of her daughters, Jolenta and her third daughter entered the convent of the Poor Clares. War forced them to move to another convent, where despite her reluctance, Jolenta was made abbess. She served her Franciscan sisters so effectively by word and example that her fame and good works continued to spread beyond the walls of the cloister. She was especially devoted to the Passion of Christ. Shortly before her death in 1298, Jolenta reported that Jesus appeared to her, telling her of her coming death. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And a happy Monday morning, everyone. You're listening to Wake Up, Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And with us now at 18 after the hour is our regular on Monday morning, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Today, our topic, discipline and grounding. And not necessarily in that order. And good morning, Alan. So glad you could join us. So let's jump right into the fray here. How do you discipline a teenager who doesn't care about the consequences? That's the first thing I want to know.
What, with vengeance? No, I'm just kidding. definitely don't do that. Just pretend I never said that. I was just
strike
thinking,
that from the record, Your
Honor.
Good
morning, guys. Yeah, for the record, I never said that. You know, I think there's three things that we have to keep in mind main things that we have to keep in mind. We have to be clear with why we're using discipline, and we can't use anger in place of discipline. And there's always that knee-jerk reaction, like, are you kidding me? Like, why did you do that? And since you did that, I'm going to take everything you own, and you're never getting it again. And when we're not clear, right, we can't be consistent. And when we're consistent, there can't be consequences, because our kids never believe that there's going to be a consequence, because we're not consistent and we weren't clear about it to begin with. So it really takes, you got to take a deep breath. And it's one of those things like, well, what, in traffic and somebody cuts you off, and like, you don't want to take a deep breath, you want to beep the horn or whatever it is that you do. Like, and that knee-jerk reaction is a reaction. There's not a it's not responding, it's a reaction. And when we react to our teenagers doing something that they definitely need discipline on, we're never going to be able to respond adequately. So the first thing is, we've got to be clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm upset. I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to give you, you know, I'm not going to give you anything right now. I just want you to go and go to your room or whatever it is, you know, and that it can be, I need a moment away from you. So that we can get clear in our own minds on how the appropriate discipline is for the action that they did. Because too often I see parents, you know, well, I'm taking your phone and you're never getting it back, and then the next day they have their phone
back.
They
got the phone back,
so,
yeah.
So, like, that's not consistent.
That's right, and those aren't good consequences, because there are no consequences when you do that.
Right, and a consequence, we have to look at what that means. So I remember my daughter lying to me about something that happened at school. And I went to the school, and I had a talk with the teacher, and it was definitely a reaction on my part, because I thought, well, my little angel, whose birthday it is today, by the way,
my little angel
will never lie to me. So I said, well, she'll never lie to me. She would never lie to me. And I said, you're telling me the truth. And she goes, yeah, Dad, I didn't do this. And I said, okay. So I went and talked to the teacher, and I was all upset, you know, with the teacher. And the teacher said, well, Mr. Migliorato, I understand you're upset, but I want to show you. And she showed me. I was like, oh, okay. Mm. So she did lie to me. So I went home and got my daughter, came back to the school with her, made her apologize to the teacher, and I definitely reacted without thinking. I said, since I can't trust you, I'm taking your door off of your room, because when I can't see you, I don't feel that I can trust you. So this way I can see you all the time. And I said, I'm not sure you're getting it back. But I didn't give that clear,
mm-hmm.
And maybe it was an appropriate kind of response, but I think that I did it without saying, look, you're losing this door for a week, because I want to make sure that I can see everything you're doing, because obviously you can't tell me the truth when I'm not seeing you.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a reaction, and I could have thought that through better, and I could have been more effective with the consequence, because I kept her door. I mean, honestly, it was about a month I kept her door off of her room.
Wow.
But, and it definitely sent a message, and she never has forgotten it.
Yeah.
I could have been a little bit more patient with that.
So basically, you like an open door policy.
No, like,
I'm kidding.
Policy. I like to see what's going on.
No, but hitting it a little more serious. You know, I had to throw that in there. One thing, though, is I think what is, you talked about clear communication in that clarity. And then, is there a way, though, that you can get your team to agree on setting the appropriate limits and helping them within the boundaries? I know a lot of people don't like the word rules, but you got to have some kind of boundaries in order for discipline to work, because they're, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, they have minds of mush, and they have to be developed, and you do that through guidance and getting them to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Well, you think of Psalm 23, right? The shepherd's got a rod and a staff. Why? The staff is definitely to guide gently back, and the rod is a little bit more of a forceful tool. So we've got to think about, like, there's tools that we have as parents. We've got to be able to utilize all of them at the right time. Can't use the hammer as a screwdriver and vice versa. So there's appropriate tools that we need as parents at the right time. So I love that, and I've done that with my kids, and I've said, look, what do you think is the appropriate discipline for your actions? And you come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, they'll come up with stuff that honestly is way harsher than I would have ever come up with. And that's a great talking point too. Is like, do you think that that's a little much? Like, Dad, I didn't come home when I told you I was going to come home, and I feel like, you know, I shouldn't go out for the next month and a half, you know, with my friends. Oh, and I'm like, well, all right, let's talk about that. Why do you think that that's appropriate? Because I wasn't trustful, I wasn't truthful with you, you know, I didn't respect you, and okay, and I appreciate that. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to compromise. I'm going to say, listen, for 2 weeks, you're not going anywhere but home and school. But I think a month and a half is being a little hard on yourself. And we have to understand that, you know, we all make mistakes, and you're not going to make that mistake again. So learning from that and me giving you, you know, compromise here is a way for parents and teens to dialogue. And it's a healthy dialogue. It's not the like the gentle parenting approach where we're partners with our kids, because I don't really like that. But more so to be, you know, have them understand, like, what my actions cause as a consequence, because there are consequences to actions, and we have to know those boundaries, and we do have to live by rules. To say that there's no rules is kind of fooling everyone.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I used to do that with, didn't have to do it with my daughters as much as my son, but I would bounce the okay, so what do you think should be the punishment, if you want to use that word, in regards to the actions that, you know, weren't appropriate, whatever they may have been. And you're right. It was amazing sometimes the response you would give, be like, wow, okay, so you're going to live by that. Yeah, I'll do that. And you know what? They stayed more in line when they realized that they were setting the parameters and you were just kind of agreeing with them. It was like, hey, this ain't so bad after all. You know, maybe I can make good choices because of the consequences, because you want to provide them. I mean, let's be honest, right, Alan? As teenagers, all of that takes place, the give and take, and they're going to make bad choices along the way, but it's part of the development of independence, taking responsibility, helping them solve problems, seeing that there is an outcome to a bad decision, good or bad, and that's how they become an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we don't have to be happy about their bad decisions as parents. And I think, like, that's something that's easy to kind of look at and say, well, you're going to make bad choices. Yes, you are, and there's going to be consequences to those choices. So just understand, what I never want to create in my kids and any teenager is to say, okay, go ahead and weigh out the good and the bad before you make this bad choice. If sneaking out of the house and going to a concert is worth losing your phone for a week, then go ahead.
Hey.
You know, but if I never want to put that, like, well, if I do this, you know, if I go 100 miles an hour, I'm just going to get one speeding ticket. It's the only one I ever had, so I might as well go have fun. That's a dangerous thing to do. So we got to understand not only the consequence, but why we should avoid that consequence.
Yeah. And when you do, when it's all said and done, do it. You mentioned it earlier. Take a deep breath. Take a step back even before you respond to that, because I think you have to do it with love and compassion and with a sense of forgiveness when it's all said and done. One last question before we wrap up. Why do teens test the limits?
Oh, I think it's part of, like, jumping out of the nest and seeing if their wings work at times, you know, is to see what they can get away with, and more for independence. It's like, I want to be able to see what I can do and without being under the control. So that's why making teens leaders and letting them have control of certain things, that's important to do, which is why we wrote, you know, Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens. That's why I wrote that book, is so if we can avoid some of these things later by having them control their own world by being leaders.
Yeah, and I think they are, and they need to get your book. If you've got parents out there with teenagers or preteens, now's the time to pick up Alan's book, because it'll give you a lot of insight and guidance and keep you as a parent from making the wrong decision or mistakes when it comes to your teen. Alan, where do they go to get it?
You can check me out at AdventureCatholic.com. Or Facebook, you can go there and look at Adventure Catholic.
All right, my brother. Well, thank you for that, and have a great week. We look forward to chatting with you again next Monday.
All right. God bless.
God bless. All right. So, Gabby, some good insight. You're like a year or two away from having a teen, huh?
So I have a preteen, which is crazy for me to even say those words right now. but I'm taking mental notes, which is why I did not jump in. But you could hear my oohs and ahs in the background because I'm just jotting them down. And then also I feel like I'm still a teenager, so I'm like, oh yeah, that's why, or ooh, that sounds harsh. But, you know, I just remember that not too long ago happening for me, so, and it worked. So
what are your consequences? Your parents still have to discipline you?
No, they do not.
Okay, you said you act like a teenager still. Okay, I was just...
No, I feel like I'm a teenager. I feel like I'm not old enough to do certain things like make doctor's appointments or... I don't know, that's just how I feel. I am old enough to do all of those things.
Okay, okay. Just clarifying that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. In the meantime, Dr. Tina Holland is going to be on spot. She is our next guest up here on Wake Up. Thanks for joining us. Stick around. It's 30 after. Get going.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado, and our next guest is Dr. Tina Holland. Dr. Holland is the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU, and today she joins us to give us an update, actually a big update, because we've been waiting such a long time to talk about the completion of the St. Francis Hall. Dr. Holland, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and the pictures are absolutely breathtaking, seeing Bishop Michael Duca of the Diocese of Baton Rouge have Mass and celebrate Mass over at St. Francis Hall. So how are you guys feeling over there with the completion of the new chapel?
Oh, we are just thrilled and incredibly grateful. You know, it was really a wonderful, meaningful experience to have the dedication of the altar and the chapel. You know, that's the center of our ministry. And so that's what we had dedicated. We haven't dedicated the building yet. But, of course, we had to start with the altar and the chapel. And I had not ever attended an altar dedication before, and it was pretty amazing. You know, you may know that I'm a convert, and the whole idea of the Eucharist was for me the most difficult aspect of the practice of Catholicism in my whole conversion process. And you know, as an adult with a fair amount of education and some engineering background, I had a hard time trying to understand. And as a result of some really faithful prayers of others and the grace of God, it was more than an understanding. It was also an acceptance and a deep, deep belief in the real presence. And so at the dedication, knowing that, you know, we were part of bringing the real presence of Christ to others with that chapel at FRANU, it just kind of blew me away. And with the timing being with the Eucharistic revival,
yeah,
I thought, yeah, that's a real wink from God.
Yeah. Well, and I truly appreciate your openness and honesty when it comes to your conversion, your story, and your thoughts on the Eucharist at that time and where it is today. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of people have felt that way or maybe are feeling that way right now, and they need to hear someone to hear what, on the other side, you know, and what they think as well. So thank you so much, Dr. Holland, for that. I really do appreciate that. And so St. Francis Hall, what else is going to be going on at St. Francis Hall?
Well, summer classes are in motion right now. The students are there. It is a most wonderful feeling to see them there. Now, it's not the full student body, but it's they're in and around the buildings. They are finding their little cubbies and corners of the building because you know, when you go into St. Francis Hall, you see that it's really student-centered, and so there are places all over for students to just land and to congregate or to be by themselves, and it's really neat to begin to watch some of that. They're really making use of the space, so that's exciting. And then, you know, later this summer, as we welcome students, that's when there will be really the grand opening with Welcome Week. And you know, perhaps next month we'll talk a little bit more about that. So it is definitely a center of attention on campus. My office is a little too fancy for the likes of me, but I guess I'll have to get used to it. But it's it is really a lovely blessing.
That's amazing. And Damien, you've actually been inside the St. Francis Hall, is that correct?
Oh, it's beautiful. And state of the art as far as education goes and the things that they have in there from the medical world in particular. And y'all are going to really focus on that. Dr. Mm-hmm. Holland, I have to ask you also, when it comes to FRANU, don't you all have what they call the FRANU experience or something like that coming up in next month or so?
Yes, Damien, thank you for mentioning that. That's the Franciscan Experience. That's our annual summer program. And, you know, that's a grant-funded program. But unfortunately, the grant funding is beginning to, you know, to roll out. We are, the funds are needing to be supplemented by philanthropic funds. And so thankfully, we had an opportunity to introduce people to that ministry at a Franciscan Circle at the home of Paul and Diane Burns just last week. Two very faithful Catholics. Paul runs ACTS retreats and mentors young Catholic men. And they invited some faithful local Catholics. And the hospitality and generosity was really overwhelming. Their interest in the Franciscan Experience, which is the summer experience for rising juniors and seniors to learn about the Catholic intellectual tradition, the Franciscan intellectual tradition, and to grow in their faith and in fellowship, as well as provide service to the community, so that they really experience what it means to be Franciscan. And every year, the program grows, but every year, the funding shrinks. So we are working to introduce any interested folks into the opportunity to support the program and to know more about it, because the fruitfulness of the program, not just for the students, but also for the church at large, is immeasurable. Young people have found their vocation at the Franciscan Experience, and one young priest really discerned his vocation at the Franciscan Experience, and he will be moving on. Jeremy Chastain, I believe, is his last name. Father Jeremy is moving on to Upper Seminary, I guess they call it, down in New Orleans next academic year.
That's amazing. Okay, and so it is June, and the fall semester is starting right around the corner. Is there a deadline for those to register for fall classes, or will they have to wait for another semester coming up after fall?
No, they can, for fall, they can register now. They can register for, great. I think there's even time for, there might even be room for TFE as well, which is coming up here in a week or so. But I'm not sure if there's any spaces. There is space for fall enrollment, and there is certainly time. They certainly just want to get on www.franu.edu and move right to the admissions page, and somebody will respond to their inquiry. I strongly recommend that you do that, because the opportunity and the experience is if that student has a propensity for pursuing any of the programs that we have, it's a, an incredible way to do it.
Wonderful. Dr. Tina Holland, President of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. You can go to franu.edu for more information on the Franciscan experience. And also, if you are interested in looking at their theology program, nursing program, and so many others as well over at FranU, that's the website you can go to. Thank you so much, Dr. Holland, for being with us today.
And thank you for having me. God bless.
God bless.
God bless you.
Yeah, in fact, there's a physical therapy open house coming up July 20th from 5 to 7. That, you know, years ago, you had to go elsewhere for physical therapy. You can get the education right here in Baton Rouge.
There you go. And so needed as well. Oh, my goodness. Debbie Shelley joins us when we come back from the break with the Catholic Commentator. She'll update us on what you're going to be finding in this week's issue. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up. It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. All of the events, like we talked about earlier on in today's show, can be found on our website calendar at ccmedia.live. All of the information on our guests can be found on today's Facebook Live video. That is Wake Up Monday. Thank you to all those who are tuning in, especially those for the first time. Debbie Shelley joins us. She is the assistant editor of the Catholic Commentator, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Debbie. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, so yesterday was probably my favorite day in a long time in the month of June. And I say that because my son's birthday was at the beginning of the month. But because of all the Eucharistic processions that went on yesterday, incredible. I love that. And so we're actually talking about that in today's issue, or this week's issue of the Catholic Commentator. So dive deeper into this topic on Bishop Duca's message about the Solemnity of Corpus Christi.
Yes, according to the message of the bishop, when the Eucharistic revival was introduced in 2022, three-year revival, the first year was dedicated to, you know, preparing the diocesan leaders spiritually by renewing their Eucharistic devotions. So as we entered the second year yesterday, it's dedicated to discerning ways to strengthen the Eucharistic culture within the parishes. So this will be emphasizing, you know, reinvigorating worship through liturgy and the opportunity for increased access to the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist and confession. And increased opportunities for personal encounter with the Blessed Sacrament by offering additional holy hour opportunities within the parishes. And his hope is this year will help people to experience their turn in his first personal encounter with the Eucharistic Lord within their parish and diocesan community. And he encouraged people to visit the National Eucharistic Revival's website, which is revival.org/get-involved. And that will be in our article to learn about becoming a prayer partner for the Eucharistic mission, how to become a Eucharistic missionary. So it's an exciting time.
It is. And if you go to our Facebook page, Debbie, and I know this is not in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, it's actually in the Diocese of Biloxi, but St. Clair's Church in Waveland did a beautiful Eucharistic procession right in front of the Gulf. It is breathtaking. Mm-hmm. Go and take a look. And I posted pictures of it yesterday. It's just one of the examples, one of the many Eucharistic processions that happened yesterday or over the weekend. So thank you so much. We'll definitely take a look at Bishop Duca's response to the Eucharistic revival as well. But we've been talking all this month about the brand new ordained priests in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. How is the Catholic Commentator covering this?
Well, of course, we covered the ordination mass on May 27th of Joseph Reservoir and Albert Blount, our newest two diocesan priests. And in addition to that coverage, we have articles on our two newly ordained, Father Joseph Reservoir. He talked about his final diaconate experiences at St. Margaret at Albany, which he found his gifts of, you know, teaching and catechesis and his final year in seminary, where they came and shared Wild West stories upon returning, so to say, and then how he learned about leading the house when he discovered it was no longer his house. It was the seminarians who would be there for several more years. So he learned about servant leadership there. And he's now looking forward to serving at Immaculate Conception in Denham Springs with Father Matthew Graham. Mm-hmm. And he met him at Christ the King years ago when he was a student there. So he's looking mm-hmm. forward to that opportunity. And then, of course, we have Father Albert Blount, who was introduced to the idea of priesthood to discern from his godmother when he went through the RCIA program. She said, I can't hope but help and pray that you become a priest, because I don't think your heart was made for one person. And wow. Father Blount told her, you're crazy. But there's some encounters with St. Therese of Lisieux. She confirmed that it was, you know, very possible and a normal thing to do for his life. He found out, mm-hmm. out through his silent retreat. So he believes that his life in seminary taught him he had far more gifts than he had and far more weaknesses than he realized. So he's going to rely on giving the gifts to the Lord and allowing him to purify those.
That's amazing.
And he will be serving at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville with Father Andrew Merrick, who will assume pastoral duties there on July 1st. So it's
going to be two wonderful parishes.
A new time for St. John the Evangelist, too, with the two new priests there. Well, two new priests there.
Yeah, well, and two big parishes, too, over in Prairieville and then Denham Springs, and great pastors, mm-hmm. one of my favorites. What a great time for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So thank you so much, Debbie, for that. And, you know, something we don't like to talk about, but we have to talk about and we have to think about, is a hurricane season. So we are in hurricane season, and Catholic Charities has preparations during this time.
Yes, and David Aguilar, you know, the director, administrator there, said that Catholic Charity has become one of the leading disaster recovery agencies in the state through their, you know, mm-hmm. yeoman efforts, it's called. And he said there's reminders at Ida that we don't want to forget and that we don't want to go through that again. So the mm-hmm. preparations are ongoing, and what they found at the hurricane mass was that it was a good opportunity to put, you know, be in a prayerful setting for even those who are not Catholic to find some meaning out of the whole situation. And for David yeah. Aguilar, he said it reminds us of the meaning and purpose of our work. So preparations are ongoing. They're not taking it for granted that this is going to be a normal hurricane season, but the bishop in his homily reminded through the reading of Jesus when he calmed the Sea of Galilee, do not lose faith, I am with you. Mm-hmm. Even if storms come, if it's devastating, he's here with us. That was the message of the hurricane mass. It was,
yes.
So putting a faith perspective to a time that we would rather, you know, what can be physical, getting of tarps and nails and paint and all that. It was time to reflect and put a faith perspective to the whole outcome, the whole season we're going through.
Right. Yes, and we must prepare. So thank you so much, Debbie Shelley, Assistant Editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. This and so many other stories you can find, along with the Women's Giving Circle and their wonderful awards and grants to different charitable donations in the local Baton Rouge area. Debbie, unfortunately, we are out of time. I know this segment always goes by so quickly. We can go to news.diobr.org to read all of these stories. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. And I post actually the website for the Catholic Commentator on today's Facebook Live video. That's Wake Up Monday.
Tons of information in there. for sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, what an hour. It went by fast. Hopefully our week won't go by so fast, or maybe it will. We will pray, though, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Jesus, I do not do much to make the Beatitudes come to life in me. Help me to give heaven its full value. Help me to desire it more each day. Help me to meditate on what heaven will be like, so I will love it more and more and be willing to do anything, whatever it takes, to get there and help many others arrive as well. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.